Good morning, brothers and sisters. So, starting last Sunday, I tried to deliver homily without a copy because we used to do it in the Philippines. We're delivering homilies without a copy. So, I'm still adjusting because once I read my homily, I lost my connection to people, and I was disturbed of my copy. So last Saturday, I said, I will try, if I can do it, delivering homily with just a short outline. Well, thanks to the people, several people told me, oh, Father, you can do it. You have a good homily, only that there is something wrong with the microphone. So I thank the microphone because of the microphone. So we cannot understand some of your words because of the microphone, but your homily is good. And somebody bought me a new microphone. So that's why I'm afraid, because the microphone now is clear. After my homily, nobody will say, oh, your homily is good because your word is clear. And we can't understand you. Yeah, we have a good microphone, but now I'm feeling I have something wrong with my voice. Not in the microphone. I remember the story of our bishop when we have a big celebration, a big feast day. So we do our work. We celebrate the Mass outside the church because there are lots of churchgoers, and we cannot accommodate them in the church. So we do the Mass at the ground. And I don't know, it's always happened in our parish. Once we have a big celebration, the microphone will not work in the beginning of the celebration. It's always happened several times in our parish. And I don't know if that's the temptation. In the beginning of the Mass, in a big celebration, the microphone will not work. So the bishop had a short story, he said, because when he prayed in the name of the Father, the people cannot understand because the microphone. Then the bishop, just to make the situation, he said, I remember one of my co-bishop, when he prayed the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son, and he noticed that the microphone is not working. He said, something wrong with the microphone. And the people answer, and also with you. Very good. It's good that that happened, that we are using the old version, and also with you. Because it's so bad, if it's already in the new version, because the people will answer, and with your spirit. And it's not only your prayer, but including your spirit. Something wrong with the microphone. And the people will ask, and with your spirit. Something wrong also with your spirit. So, brothers and sisters, in the first reading, we heard the story of Noah, the God is making a covenant with Noah. And he said, I promised you, Noah, once you see a rainbow, and I will put my vows, my promise in the clouds and in the rainbows, I will never destroy it again, this your descendants and your next generation. So what happened? Because the Lord, during the time of Noah, destroyed the place because something wrong with the people. So we started with saying something wrong with the microphone, but the readings today is so serious, telling us that something wrong with the people. From the first reading, the second reading, and the gospel, there is something wrong with your people, Noah. That's why I destroyed your people. Then in the second reading, St. Paul said that Christ died for the sinners. a man who had no sin, he has died for the sinners. And he said, oh, do you remember what happened during the time of Noah? It's good that the second reading, Peter mentioned about the first reading, and there is a close connection. And in the gospel, Jesus said, repent, you sinners, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So there are things common in the three readings, the first reading, the second, and the third. So we will go back to the first reading. So in the first reading, we heard that our Lord is making a covenant with Noah and his descendant. So I will repeat again the words in the first reading. When Yahweh told Noah, I promise you, this is our everlasting covenant. I will not destroy this people again with flood. But if you remember, there are many occasions or many bad things happen in the world, especially if you can remember the tsunami that happened, I think, say 4 years ago, happened in the Southwest Asia, and then in the Philippines, only before Christmas, and even this year, there are so many people died and drowned in the water. So while reading the first reading, I'm asking myself, is God really sincere with his promise with Noah? Because he said, this is my everlasting covenant. Once there is a rainbow, I will always remember that I will not destroy these people with water. But there are so many happenings in the world that the people are drowned and died by flood or landslide. So the question is something wrong with God, not only with the people? Because it seems that God is not so sincere with his promise. He said, your next generation, and there are still clouds, there are still rainbows until now. So why God is still distressed? Where is his promise to Noah? Second reading, Peter said, mentioning the Noahs, he said, God, who waited patiently while Noah is building the ark, God, who waited patiently while Noah is building the ark, who made his promise to a people with good conscience. So it's good that Peter gave a clarification of the promise of God in the first reading. Because even in the first reading, if we go back in the history, not mentioning the New Testament, God already changed his promise. God already changed his covenant. Especially during the time of the major prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Jonah, during the time of the minor prophet, Yahweh already mentioned several times, I changed my mind. I will destroy you, Israel. You are my chosen people, but because there's something wrong with you, because you are disobedient, I will let your enemies destroy you. And that is the reading. I remember at least 1 week or 2 weeks ago, that's the first reading. The book of the prophet Isaiah, when Yahweh told Isaiah that I will let the enemies of the Israelite to destroy them, even they are my chosen people because they are disobedient. So once we are talking of covenant in the first reading today, once we have a covenant is an agreement. So once there is an agreement, there is a promise between the two parties, God and the people. So I will not destroy you, so I will promise you, but you have also the promise. The people have also to promise to obey God. So the people become unfaithful. They are not faithful to the promise, so it could be a reason of our Lord to change his mind. So in the second reading again, Peter clarifies that the promise of Yahweh is not a word. The promise is not a word. The promise of Yahweh, the promise of God, is a man. The promise of God is not only word. That word, that promise, which is in words, became flesh. So the promise now is Jesus, which is mentioned in the second reading. Christ, the one being promised by God the Father, now died for the sake of the sinners. And he acted as a sinner when he was being baptized in the river of Jordan. That's why he said, Peter, Noah, the people drawn through the water, by the water, but Noah saved by the water. So the people drawn in the water, but because of the water, the ark of Noah float in the water. That's why they are saved. So we are destroyed by the water, but we can also be saved by the water. So we will be saved by water, but it means baptism. So we will be saved by water, and that is the baptism. That's why Jesus acted as a sinner. He let himself to be baptized by John the Baptist at the river in the water, so that it's a good example for the people that you should be also baptized. And he said, still in the second reading, and Peter said, a God exists, that the Christ who have died and resurrected went again through his spirit and preached to the imprisoned spirit. And who are the imprisoned spirit? The prison spirit are those spirit that disobey God. The imprisoned spirit are those who disobey God. So same with the first reading. The people was destroyed because of this, of their disobedience. And so, if we believe the promise, which is now in the gospel when he said, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that word is not a good news. It not sounds a good news to the people. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand, and believe in the gospel. That is according to a man who is the promise of Yahweh in the first reading, saying now, repent. So this is the covenant. If you will not repent, something will happen to you. And believe in the good news. If you will not believe the good news, you will not be saved. So that's our part. The promise now is telling us what to do. If we will not follow him, we will not be saved. And that's the contract. That's the agreement. So in the gospel, we heard, after baptism, the Spirit led Jesus to the desert, and there he was tempted by the devil. So the problem there is not only the temptation, which is not detailed in the gospel for the year B, but on the year A, the temptations are detailed. But in year B, we have only a short gospel because we are using the gospel of Mark. There is only a word tempted, and Jesus lived with the wild animals. So the problem of Jesus is too, the temptation of the devil and the wild animals. It's hard to live in the desert with lions, with tigers, with crocodiles, and there are wild animals. But according to Mark, the angel came and helped Jesus how to live in the desert with wild animals. But we can get only one temptation. That the first temptation of Jesus is according to the devil, or to the evil spirit. He said, a man does not live on the bread alone, but on the words that came from the mouth of God. Man does not live on the bread alone. So it's a very good reminder for us that really the people will not live by bread alone. We should live always by words. Not only by bread, but we need words. For example, the parents, you give all the foods, you give your foods to the children, the foods they needed, you give them and you will not talk with them. You just put it in the table and no words. Well, the children, even the food are delicious, they will not eat it. But if you have words, for example, the little children, we say, oh, come, baby, oh, taste this food, this is delicious. Even that food is not delicious, but the child will taste it as delicious because it is the word of their mother. Because of the word of the mother. So if the words of the parents is a big inspiration for children, how much more the word of God? How much more the word of God? So that's why it is Jesus telling us now, repent, but not only repent, believe the words of God. Repent and believe the good news. I remember Father Ted, before he left for vacation, yesterday he called me, Joseph, I have two things to say. First, use the new microphone. Then this is the second one. Try to make your homily up to 12 minutes only. Well, it's 15 minutes already.